Jesus, we know that you're here. Lord, you promised that you would be with your people when we gather, and here we are. This is your church, this is your temple, the place where your spirit can be found in the world. And so, Jesus, we pray that you would come and move among us powerfully. We submit ourselves to you, we submit our lives to you, and we confess. The truth is, we don't even really want to submit our lives to you, but by faith we trust that your ways are so much better than the things that we would choose for ourselves. When we go our own way, Jesus, it doesn't work out so well. We submit to you because we trust that you are good and wise and beautiful. You've made us your kids. So come, Holy Spirit. Come move among us. Come do what we can't do on our own power. Lord, change our hearts. Change this community. Lord, let your light shine in us and through us. We pray it in the mighty name of King Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all, welcome again. This is discipleship night, so obviously we're here to talk about discipleship. Can everybody hear me, like in the back and everywhere? Cool. We're here to talk about discipleship. That word may not be super exciting, but I wish there was a better word, because what we're here to do is very, very exciting. It's very beautiful. It's also really challenging. Friends, the truth is, Jesus, the one for whom all creation is made, all things are unto him and for him, he has adopted us into the family of God. He has made us the very children of God. We're God's kids now. And he invites us to live like it, right? But that's not easy. It's really hard, actually. Now, he invites us to submit our whole lives to him. There's no part of our lives that he doesn't want to take charge of. And that can sound like a lot. It can sound suffocating. But again, the truth is, what it really means is that there's no part of your life, no part of your history that God doesn't want to heal and transform and mold more into his own beautiful image. So what we're talking about isn't earning anything from God. We're talking about discipleship. It's work. It means discipline, but it's not to earn anything from God. Discipleship is all about aligning our lives with who Christ has already made us. He's made us his kids, so we're learning to live that way. We're learning to live as the people we already are, learning to live the way that God sees us as his own beloved children. But like I said, it's not an easy thing to do because we were born loving the wrong things. And we've been training our entire lives to love the wrong things. So it doesn't come naturally. It takes practice. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to practice loving God and loving what he loves. And we trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in us as we do this. And over time, it actually transforms our lives. Discipleship is about transformation into the image of Christ. And this, again, isn't to earn anything from God. It's not to pass through some kind of test. It's the good thing that he offers us, the thing that he promised us, the thing that Jesus has made possible. That's kind of a review from last week. Tonight, we're going to talk about, well, how do you do that? How do you begin to step into this work of discipleship? How does it get real in our lives? And you have two different handouts. One of them has an outline and kind of a summary describing a lot of what I'm going to say, so you can follow along with that or not. But what I want to say really clearly is, discipleship, at its simplest and most fundamental, is about two things: listening and responding. Like, at its simplest level, discipleship is about listening and responding. I'm not a big sports guy, and I try not to use sports analogies all the time because they don't land with everybody, this one's unavoidable for me. Vince Lombardi, famous, you know, football dude, said, and you've heard this before, football is two things: blocking and tackling. I don't care anything about formation or new offenses or tricks on defense. If you block and tackle better than the team you're playing, you win. So Lombardi's famous for teaching people, look, if you get the fundamentals right, blocking and tackling, everything else is going to come together. And no matter what else you're doing, if you can't get that right, you're not going to win. Many businesses have taken this on and said, what are our fundamentals? What I'm arguing is the fundamentals of discipleship are listening and responding. There are a million books, all kinds of things you can read and do, but at the end of the day, if there's no room for listening and responding, if we're not doing those things, we're not going to get very far. And if we're doing them well, we will will find transformation in our lives. Now, what do I mean by listening and responding? Well, listening, of course, we listen to God by reading Scripture. We trust that it is actually His Word and that it's alive and that He speaks to us through it. And so we read God's Word. God also speaks to us. We're able to listen to Him as we pray and as we discern together in community. And this responding piece is really important. It's obvious, but it has to be said, because we're not listening to God simply to learn a new piece of information, but to submit to Him. That's actually a really important detail. So two things I want to say about listening and responding, one about listening and one about responding, and then I'm done up here. We listen in a very particular way. We listen understanding, again, that Scripture isn't just a collection of truths to memorize or understand, but that Scripture is the story that's meant to define and orient our lives. See, every family, every community, every profession has its own story about what your life is for. Now, you don't go to work or go home and somebody sits down and says, let me tell you a story. But there is a story implicit in every community that you're a part of. The lived values of the community that you're in teach you what your life is for. It might be the pursuit of money or beauty or a certain kind of reputation. Whatever it is, it's the thing that your life ends up being organized around. And we believe these things. We believe these stories because the people we trust, the people that we look up to, live them every day. And so if we're not careful, we won't notice it, but our lives are already being oriented around other things because we're with other people who are living these other values out, these other stories. So Scripture, again, it's not just information for us to know, but it's meant to be the story that orients our life, that makes sense of it, that defines the values that we carry. So I've been in church my entire life. I've been reading the Bible my entire life. I don't go back and read a story again because I don't remember what it says. I go back and read a story again because all day long, every day, I'm being told 100 other stories about what my life is for, about who I am and what my life means. I'm hearing a different story when I go to a store and I see advertisements. You go to work. There are all these other stories about what your life is for. And so we've got to return to Scripture over and over again so that it's the story that narrates and defines our lives, that teaches us who we are and what our lives are for. Does that make sense? So we return to Scripture again and again so that it becomes the story that defines our lives. And it takes a lot of listening to it for it to be louder than all those other stories. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I already said, and it's very short, and that is that we listen not just to understand, but to submit. When we come to Scripture, when we come to God, we're not just trying to find out some new interesting thing. We're coming to submit ourselves, to be changed. Our culture has trained us to consume information passively without doing anything. And we tend to approach God's words the same way. It's like watching the news or scrolling on your phone. You don't pick up the news on your phone and like plan on doing something about it, right? You're just like doing this, you know? And we do that with so many things. But when we read Scripture, when we have an encounter with God through prayer and through the community of faith, we're not just receiving information to file away. It's more like going into an important meeting with your boss or going to an important meeting with your doctor where you're coming in thinking like, okay, like what needs to happen? What are we going to do next, right? And so we approach Scripture in that way. The question is not just what does it mean, but how do I submit my life to this truth? So we lay out this pattern that I want to describe. The question is, when I go to Scripture, what is the truth from God's perspective about who He is, about who I am, about what I need? And as we're able to name that truth, it's going to reveal a second thing, and that's what other stories have I been living out of? Like what lies are driving my life instead of that truth? That's the listening part, but then we move to responding, and that looks like making a plan to trust God in some specific way. Trusting God doesn't mean feeling differently about the situation. It means putting some kind of practical action to the truth that you've heard. So I'll give you a concrete example. I read the truth from Scripture, and it tells me that who am I? It tells me that I'm God's beloved child, and that this identity is the meaning and purpose of my life. So what lie does that reveal? Well, I'll look inside and I find that what I really believe is that I'm only as valuable as what I produce. That my contribution is the meaning of my life, and that, it turns out, is what actually determines what I do every day. So what would it look like to trust God with this truth? Well, there are a lot of things that could come out of it, but an example might be saying, okay, I'm going to set aside 10 minutes three times each week, this week, to stop doing and sit with God's love for me, right? That might be a concrete response. It's just one of many examples, but that's the question. How is God inviting me to respond to step in some concrete way from the lie into the truth that he's revealed to me? And I trust that as I do, again, this isn't something I'm doing to earn something from him. I'm doing it because I trust that as I move towards him, that's the place where I'm going to find life and wholeness, all the promises that he's made to me. So look quickly, if you would, with me at the questions in your little booklet. They're inside, right? Everybody got one of these? If you don't have one, they are in the narthex on the far left, right by the entrance to the office. There's big stacks of them. And there are two different things in there. You're going to want both of them. There's the booklet that looks like this, and there's another thing that says discipleship practices. So you want both of those. While people are getting those, I should have said that at the beginning, note to self. Let's say that, like, our gathering here, what we're doing right now, like, the purpose of this work is, our goal is to try to build a culture at St. Andrew's of discipleship, like a culture that goes deep. So it's not just about this meeting tonight. It's about becoming the kind of place and the kind of people who are continually in the habit of, in the practice of, listening and responding to God. That's the kind of community where people aren't simply hearing the truth and nothing happens. It's the kind of place where lives are being transformed regularly in significant ways by the gospel. That's what we want to learn to do. That's the kind of community we want to be. So let's look at these questions really quickly together. Group discussion question. Number one, what are the stories that most define the way you live your life every day? What have you learned that your life is for? What have you learned that you really need? From your family, your school, your work, your peers, media or social media, other significant voices. I don't expect you all to answer all of these. If there's just one that stands out to you, that's a place to speak into. Frankly, this is a place you could camp out a long time. But tonight, the idea is just to try to be able to name something real that you can see in your own life. And then I would encourage you to come back to it later. But then number two, what have you learned from Scripture about what your life is for and what you really need? So we're trying to name what the truth is over and against these other stories that we've learned about what our lives are for. And then question three, how does the idea of spiritual discipline hit you? Again, this whole thing is an invitation into practicing our faith, into spiritual disciplines, but I understand that that's an idea that can sometimes rub us the wrong way. So the question is, how does change or growth usually happen in other areas of your life? Do you find that you get healthy or learn Spanish or gain the ability to play the piano or get more mentally healthy through willpower? Or is it because you took on new habits and practices, new disciplines? What does that look like? What would that look like spiritually? And do you find, in question four, that there's currently room in your life to listen and respond, to hear God's voice and to say yes to it in some real way, maybe even a small way, on some kind of regular basis? And to make it simple and to get us going, the last, on the other side, you're going to have homework, and it's going to ask you to try this week. And the other handout is this little pamphlet called Spiritual Discipleship Practices. This, if you're already doing something like this, that's fine. Do that instead. But if you're not, you have a morning and evening prayer, and then this is part of it. The psalm is part of it. That's for every day. This is every morning and every evening. And then there's a verse of scripture for the morning and evening for every day. It takes about 6 minutes. I've timed myself over the course of several weeks doing this. It takes about 6 minutes to do that. I would encourage you to begin to do this if you don't already have some kind of similar practice going, to make space. This is a place of listening and responding. I'm not going to ask if there are any questions. There are too many of us. That's habit. All right. Go to your tables. Go to your groups. Work this out together. Christ is at work among us.